Greetings, Saints. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you for joining us today, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. We want to know what it is that's pleasing unto you. Most of all, Lord, we want to forgive one another of any kind of perceived offenses so that we may be in your bride, so that we may have the love that you commanded us to have and the gift that you gave us of forgiveness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Well, I guess you can guess what I felt the Lord tell me I was supposed to speak on today. It's so important right now as we're running out of time to be in the bride, that everyone is found in total forgiveness. God can forgive a lot if we forgive all, right? He can forgive a lot. And amazingly, as I, for the last few days, I was thinking to share on this, and today I received this word from Sandy Shaw. And it's all about the curse on unforgiveness. And she received this on the 18th. She said, "In this dream, I'm looking out of the dining room window towards the gardens. And David is standing outside looking at the gardens. I believe the Lord showed me that this is representing taking care of God's garden and the weeds. And then I saw a factious man we know charging up the driveway towards David, saying in an angry voice, 'Hey, David.' And David said, 'What's going on?' Then he took a swing at David, who casually put up his hands as a shield for his face. David ducked and moved out of the way. The man kept trying to hit him and took many swings, but kept missing. Well, I believe in the spirit this represents throwing accusations and slander. Okay. And David said, 'You don't really want to hit me,' quote unquote. But from the look on the man's face, he did. And as they say, if looks could kill. But I never saw anyone look so angry." Well, in Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, we're told, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Now, that's the word of the Lord, and he calls a fool whoever he wants to call a fool. But he says, when anger rests in your bosom, you're a fool. And that is because of the curse that's going to come right back at you. You know, Ephesians 4 and 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice." All of this is unforgiveness. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And if you're not forgiven your sins, you're in a terrible situation. Please remember that. You cannot be in the bride if you have unforgiveness in your heart. And that, of course, you know, negates you escaping the judgments that are coming at the hand of the beast. And basically, that's what this revelation goes on to say. But continuing with her story, she said, "Then the man said, 'Why did you do that? I'll fix you for that.'" Retaliation, right? "Then David said, 'If you don't talk to me about it, I won't know what you're talking about.' The man was still angry and said, 'Why did you do that?' David said, 'If you don't talk to me and tell me what you're talking about, then I can't answer your question.' I saw the man back up, and that was it. I woke up." Well, I know this doesn't make sense unless you've, to some of you, unless you've been watching the political shenanigans going on out there. But like this dream points out, the faction never face the person they're accusing, and it's because the devil wants to take them out real bad. So they never face them, and they never face me with the accusation, as Jesus commanded, but face the church with the accusation, as Jesus forbade. Guess who's behind that? Well, this is, of course, for the purpose of character assassination, because Satan's kingdom is destroyed by this ministry. The spirit of faction will never let them mention the sin to me. We've had dreams that said this specifically. The demon says, "Don't talk to David. Don't talk to David." And they never do. But because it will not stand up to the scrutiny of the word or to any sane person, they do this. And they won't bring it up because they know it's stupid. And this is exactly what those spirits are doing to Donald Trump. With no proof of sin, they accuse and slander the most menial, foolish things. Well, that's what's been happening to us. Same spirits. Matthew 18 and 15 is our command from Jesus on through 17. "And if thy brother sin against thee," that is, if he sins, not all this goofy stuff. They're finding that all the accusations coming against Trump are lies, one right after another. There was no sin involved. There was no breaking of a law involved. So if thy brother sin, if he doesn't sin, you have to keep your mouth shut. You have no business speaking such a thing. And you have no business speaking it to anybody but your brother. It says, "Go and show him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." That's the way it is, because sometimes you just find out you're foolish and your thinking was wrong and you received accusations without any grounds. But some don't want to find that out, and the devil doesn't want them to find that out, so they won't face a person with it. "But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three every word may be established." This is the command of the Lord. And lots of times these people who are foolish can't find somebody else that foolish to agree with them who is a witness either. And so they go around the word for expediency. Many times they have selfish ambition involved. They want to take over God's people. "And if he refuse to hear them, tell it to the church." Now that's the third step. "And if he refuse to hear the church also, let him be unto thee as the Gentile and the publican." Okay, third step, not the first. Okay. And Matthew 6:12 says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." See, there's a condition there. And, of course, Jesus said the same thing. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And this is clearly speaking of the debt of sin that some will not forgive even if there is no sin. So the debt of sin, remember that, because the answer that Sandy got by faith at random is pretty significant about this. Matthew 18 and 21, this is not her verse, this is mine, but I'll get to her verse in a minute. Matthew 18 and 21, "Then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make him a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. He owed a great debt, and of course we all owe a great debt of sin, even from our past, which we want forgiven, or we can have no relationship with God whatsoever. But for as much as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had. He had no sacrifice. Because of his unforgiveness, he had no sacrifice. We're going to find out here. Because we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin. He had nothing to pay with. And payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He wanted mercy. Mercy that, of course, you must sow something before you can reap it, right? Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. If you sow mercy, you will reap mercy. If you sow grace, you will reap grace. If you sow neither, you'll live under the curse. Yeah. 27. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. And this is, of course, a debt of sin. As we read on, you'll see that. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings, a far, far less debt of sin. This is hypocrisy. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what thou owest. Putting him under the law, right? Well, to be under the law is to be under a curse. That's what the Bible says. You want to be under grace, therefore you must share grace, right? Pay what thou owest. So his servant fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Same thing. That should have woke him up right there. He asked for the same grace that this unforgiver wouldn't give. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay that which was due. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceedingly sorry. Yes, people do see through that. And came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord called him unto him, and said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that. Just think about the Father's heart here, how he feels about a person that does not forgive. Okay. Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors. That's demons. That's why they act that way. Those are demons. Till he should pay all that was due. By the way, this unforgiveness is causing these people's families to break up, their families to fall into sin. He's bringing a curse on his whole family. And delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Notice that his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had. I used to wonder, why in the world, when a wicked person like this would come under a curse, their wife would receive it, their children would receive it. And this was God's answer to me right here. So, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So, this is the verse that Sandy received concerning this dream. And she received it by faith at random, which is kind of amazing because it's dead on the money. But that's God. He's a sovereign God. You know, if we commit things to his hand by faith, he can do it. She received by faith at random a word for this dream which speaks the exact same thing. Jeremiah 34:11. But afterwards they turned and caused the servant and their handmaids, whom they had let go free, in other words, they released them from their debt, is what this is talking about in the context. And that's, of course, the debt of sin in representing that. To return and brought them, so whom they had let go free, to return. In other words, then they did not forgive them. According to our covenant, you must forgive, right? To return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Well, here it is in context with the understanding that debts of sin must be forgiven by all from the heart, or a curse is upon them. Jeremiah 34:10. And all the princes and all the people obeyed that had entered into the covenant. Now, we have a covenant that commands us to forgive debts of sin. Okay, so if you're not doing that, you are breaking the covenant. God's not breaking it, you're breaking it. That it says they had entered into the covenant that everyone should let his manservant, everyone his maidservant go free, that none should make bondmen of them anymore. They obeyed and let them go. Okay, first, when they were faced with the covenant, they agreed to the covenant. But afterwards they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids, whom they had let go free, to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. They brought them back into bondage to pay for their debt. So you can read this whole thing if you like. It's very good. All of it's very good. I'm going to skip down to 17 here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me to proclaim liberty, every man to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim unto you a liberty, says the Lord, to the sword, and to pestilence, and to famine, and I will make you to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. And guess what? When they are found in this position and the curses of the world come upon them and upon their children, they've got no faith. No faith. I've watched it. They may have trusted in the Lord for healing for their children for years, but suddenly they don't have any faith. But the Bible says, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. So I'll make you to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth, and I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, that have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in twain, and pass between the parts thereof. That's a blood covenant. We have a blood covenant. Jesus forgave us. We have to forgive one another to be forgiven. That's the blood covenant. The princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all people of the land that passed between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life. And their dead bodies shall be for food for the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the earth. So, a pretty well pronounced curse here. He said, I will make them to be tossed to and fro among the kingdoms of the earth, and turn them over to the sword, to pestilence, to famine, and so on. Doesn't sound good, does it? So that kind of begins my revelation here, and I want to just share from the Word with you. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 5 and 21. You have heard that it was said unto them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. So he's comparing these two things, right? It's very clear that many people are under the judgment of God. They're under the curse of God because of anger, because anger is unforgiveness. It's just a manifestation of it, one of many manifestations of it, right? And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, and that's an expression of contempt, you know, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. But God has the authority to call someone a fool. And Paul said, you foolish Galatians, you know. So, he had the authority in the Lord. The Lord had the authority to do it, right? But from our own personal animosity towards someone, we can't speak that way. He said, Thou fool shall be in danger of the hell of fire. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Some people are doing great works of sacrificing to the Lord. In fact, they're thinking that this is covering up their problem with their brother. And God says, no, it's not. Oh, I'm sacrificing all this. The Lord sees me and he forgives me. No, you have to make things right with your brother. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way. Why? Because you immediately begin to enter into the curse of unforgiveness. Why go through it for 10 years and then discover this and then do something about it? Why not do something about it immediately while you're with your brother in the way? He's warning people to do this. Do it now. Do it immediately. And I agree that there are some people, there's no way you can make any restoration or anything because what they're thinking is a lie. They've received demons. And you can try, but you will fail with these people. And other people who don't want to forgive, all you can do is try to solve the situation. And then, if they don't want to, you back away, your hands are clean. All right. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. There it is, in bondage, because of unforgiveness. Just what he did for the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, right? Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the last farthing. Some people think their deliverance is around the corner. They may be even trying to use verses to support their faith to be forgiven, but no, he says, go back and straighten this out. If you've made this person stumble, or if they've sinned against you, Matthew 18 and 15, go and straighten this out. You say, well, I've tried and I can't. Well, then your hands are clean. You can't do what you can't do. It's not that the Lord may not want you to go back later when this person has cooled down and straighten it out. I mean, because that's a distinct possibility. Thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the last farthing. In other words, you're going to pay for this sin. And you heard the story in Matthew 18 about the tormentors and the unforgiveness. How do we know that we haven't forgiven? Well, let me give you a couple of pointers here. I'm going to look at Matthew 15, 18 through 20. But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart. They defile the man. So evil things that come out of the mouth, which come out of the heart, defile the man. And if you've offended someone in this way, it's not, you know, when you've spoken the gospel and they're offended with the gospel, or when you ask them to obey the scriptures and they refuse to obey the scriptures because they have a selfish ambition. I've run into all this stuff with people. I mean, you're guiltless if this is what's happening. But if you have offended somebody by what you said, you should do something about it. The things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart. They defile the man. See, what you're saying is what's in your heart. And God does not want that in heaven. He will not have it. For out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts. See, this is why you can't go by thoughts that come into your head. Illegal thoughts against your brother. You cannot receive this from the devil any more than you can receive it from another person who is a slanderer. Now, the Bible says, receive not an accusation against an elder except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. That means thoughts in your head, whether you say they are God or something else. You can't receive this without two or three witnesses, right? Now, God has witnesses. He does give dreams, and he does give visions and so on and so forth, you know. But there are people all the time receiving it on their own, no support from any scripture, no support from another person. They receive it on their own, and they think it's the Lord. And because it agrees with their selfish ambition to come against this person, they give in to it. So evil thoughts, murderers. You can't murder somebody that you've forgiven, you know. Adulteries. Yes, you certainly aren't paying any attention to the needs of other people when you cause them to sin. That's evil. That's better to have a stone tied around your neck and thrown in the ocean. Fornication, same thing. Thefts. You're stealing from somebody you have no love for whatsoever. Many people have stolen from me thinking they've stolen from me when they've stolen from the people of God. Because I personally don't have money. But false witnesses. You know, Jesus said they brought false witnesses. They went out and looked for false witnesses against Jesus. And they brought many that lied, you know. False witnesses, railings, that is, speaking against, blaspheming people, speaking against a person. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man. Defile the man. Another thought. Galatians 5. And let's see. I'm going to read 16 on down. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Of course, the Spirit speaks the word to us. The Spirit speaks kindness through us. The Spirit is the very nature of forgiveness and grace and so on and so forth. So we don't want to anger the Spirit of God. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another. We can't deceive God if we've got impure motives for holding something against someone. He knows it. that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft. And witchcraft is a strong help to faction and anger and these things. Enmities, making in other people your enemies. Strife, jealousies, wrath, all of these have their root in unforgiveness. And this causes you to break the covenant. You have no covenant rights to grace and blessings. And the reason for this is God wants a person to fear Him and to fear His Word and to respect their brethren. And these are chastenings that come upon that person in order to get them to repent. If they don't repent, the Lord says there's no end to it. He has to get you to repent in this life, or you've got no hope. Contrary to popular opinion, enmity, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, which is divisions, right? Divisions, parties or heresies. That's somebody that uses verses in order to gain your trust or gain you or separate you from someone else. Envyings, a motivation of a lot of people. Drunkenness, whether spiritual or physical, being out of touch with reality, you know. Revelings and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Which is the same thing we know about unforgiveness. You do not, if you're not forgiven, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So much for once saved, always saved, which is a lying spirit in itself. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. You know, the kind of anger that we read about earlier. There's no self-control there. There's none of the rest of these things either. I mean, you can know you've got unforgiveness if you've got one of these, because all of them are rooted in unforgiveness. Against such, there is no law. A person that doesn't give in to these lower, baser instincts, he's not under any law. He can have faith towards God, too, because his heart condemns him not. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. Some people that are angry like to provoke one another. And they are envious for some reason, or jealous for some reason. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Okay, so people think, well, I will take it into hand, and I will take control over this, and I will make sure this person pays their debt. But no, it doesn't work that way. Looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay, and another thing. This is the very opposite of the spirit of love. If we just study love, we're studying the bride. That's who the bride is. God is love. And if God lives in someone, and if he's free to live in someone, he will love through that person. He loves the bride because the bride keeps his commandments and loves him. And if the bride does not love their fellow brethren, then they don't have a love for God, as he said. So, we show our love towards God by our love for the brethren, because he loves them too. And when the wicked judge his children, he takes care of that. So love is the very opposite of unforgiveness. And in 1 Corinthians 13, I'll just read this to you briefly here. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So, obviously, this person values the gift a lot. And we should. But we can't value the gift above the gift, the giver, or a give above our brethren, right? We can't value it above that. This, it's not the gift that gets us into heaven. We get into heaven by repentance and faith. And it starts immediately when you begin believing that Jesus took away your sins, he forgave you your debt, and of course to have that, you must forgive the debt of others. So, some people think the gifts make them, you know, saved and a shoe-in and valuable and all these other things. No, God gives the gift to someone who is forgiving so that they can be a blessing to the body. It is just part of our work. Okay? And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. This causes some people to be puffed up and to think they're somebody they're not, and to start taking liberties that they don't have. God is God. He is the judge. We are not. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. So it's true. You can have faith and do mighty works and see wonderful things done for the kingdom and for people. But if you've got unforgiveness, you're going to be lost. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So you can sacrifice to the uttermost for whatever reasons may come. But if you don't love the brethren, you're nothing. You're nothing. All your gift is nothing. You can sacrifice your whole life and everything in it. You're still nothing if you don't have love of the brethren. Which is the love of God. Love suffers long. Well, you don't have time to get angry if you're suffering long, right? And you don't have time to be unforgiving if you're suffering long. And if you're unforgiving, you're not suffering long, right? And is kind. Love is kind. Love is a kind nature towards even your enemies. Love your enemies, we're told, right? Love envieth not. Love isn't jealous. Love isn't presumptive towards people. Love vaunteth not itself. People love to put self forward. They think that they can take the place of God. They think that they can be the judge. Right? They're unforgiving and they won't forgive their neighbor, and they're not keeping the covenant that they made with the Lord, as we saw earlier. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Puffed up people go out and do things totally out of the will of God and think they're okay, you know. Doth not behave itself unseemly, like the person throwing the punches, right? Whether it's verbal punches or whether it's physical punches or retaliating in any way, you know. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. On and on. Do good to them that despitefully use you. No retaliation. Now, God wants his ministers to warn people about people like this. Otherwise, these ministers that we're reading here were wrong. They constantly warned. Every book of the Bible warns about these people. And so it must be done. People must be warned. Because I tell you this, people have a short memory. You say, David, you talked about unforgiveness a while back. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, people have a short memory. They fall right back into it. And they think they're okay, and we have to restore the fear of the Lord. It doesn't behave itself unseemly, and seeketh not its own, and is not provoked. Well, you know, in the vision there, in the dream there, the person was provoked by something. Whether it really happened or not, nobody knows. Because the demon obviously did not want to bring the accusation under the scrutiny of other people, especially those who could give an answer. He is not provoked. Nothing they can do. Some people think they have a right to do this or to do that or to say this because of what this person did. They did this and they did that, so they were provoked. But Jesus said, resist not him that's evil, turn the other cheek, love your enemy. If you're provoked, it's your fault. If you're offended, it's your fault. People say, I'm offended because of... No, it... No, because nothing. If you're offended, it's your fault. God can be offended, and God can speak through his prophets that judgment that we just read earlier against those who have unforgiveness. Does that mean the prophet's wrong because he spoke the word of the Lord? No, the prophet's not wrong. The prophet is right. If you're provoked, if you're unforgiving in any way, it's not because of the person that offended you, it's because of you. Is not provoked. That's in plain English. Taketh not account of evil. Taketh not account. In other words, they're not always thinking on what somebody did or what they think somebody did. The devil will harass you until you give in. He'll keep throwing these darts at your mind. If you don't put up the shield of faith, he'll take you out. Those demons, those tormentors are ready and standing by to take you out. You'll be so goofy in the eyes of, not yourself, no, oh no, you'll be self-justified and everything, but you'll be so goofy in the eyes of everybody else that you'll be ashamed later when God opens your eyes, like he did Nebuchadnezzar, right? When he was eating the grass of the field, which is devouring the flesh of men, right? And for 7 years he was under that. I know people that have been under this for 5 years, and some a lot longer, but I'm talking about the faction itself. They've been under this for 5 years, and they've, oh, 5 or 6 years, and they've never come out from under the curse. They're wasting time, valuable time, that they could be using to come into the image of Jesus Christ. No, they're not bearing fruit. Absolutely not. taketh not account of evil. Don't take account of anything evil that's done against you. Anything. If you're offended, it's your fault. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness. People rejoice in something that happens to somebody they don't like. They even pray witchcraft prayers, which we have been informed by the Lord about continually to pray against. Because he knows when it's released, you know, he knows. And he lets us know we pray against it. The enemy has tried to kill me several times and failed. But somebody can't send a witchcraft prayer, which is, they might phrase that in a different way. They might phrase turning someone over to the devil or something like that, you know. They can't send a witchcraft prayer and be guiltless, nor escape the judgment of it. How many times in the scripture says about the wicked laying a trap for the righteous and falling into it themselves? Because what they have sown, they have reaped. That's why you don't have to worry about it. The Lord will take care of them. And I've seen him do it over and over and over. And they've several times tried to kill me through witchcraft prayers. Well, you know, the slander and stuff like that is a character assassination. But I'm talking about tried to physically kill me and failed. And they feel justified. I'm a real bad person, kind of like notice out there in the political realm. What's going on? How bad the Russians are? Once these people have this faction and witchcraft and Satanism all in them, they want to continue war. Whence come wars among you? Come they not of your pleasures at war in your members? They've tried so hard to start a world war and kill millions of people. Tried so hard to do that. And nobody's ever found the evidence. They don't even seem to have any evidence to say something. The news no longer has to have any evidence. Nor anybody that you can go to check them out, because they're all anonymous, right? You know, this is crazy. But that's exactly what's happening. They're making up evidence, as was found out about. And when they get caught, oh well, they just pass on to the next thing and do it again. That's what these people do. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. Yes. We want the truth to come out. Father, we ask for some justice, that the truth come out about these crazy, wicked people who have brought this curse upon themselves, Lord. And we love them. We want them to be delivered, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name, that you bring that consciousness of sin upon them, that conviction of sin upon them, and deliver them. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to do a quick work. As we received a revelation in the last broadcast concerning the lion destroying the spirit of faction and taking away his sword and rebuking the Pharisees, who were very factious against Jesus, and they're very factious against us. Rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, beareth everything. You know, just, you know, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. If God permits it to come to try you, to put you through a Job experience, which was good for Job, crucifixion experience, which we all need, all that would suffer. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that would live. Okay, so because God uses the persecutors to crucify us so that we don't retaliate, we don't have unforgiveness, so that we don't do these things. Meanwhile, they're wasting their life and the time that they, precious time that they have to come into the image of Jesus. Beareth all things, believeth all things. In other words, we ought to be prone to believe what people say, unless it's something like slander, and you can tell the animosity and the unforgiveness and the criticism in because there's no witnesses and so on and so forth, you know. Or they're breaking all the rules. Then you know it's coming from a perverse person. But we believe all things that God says. When God gives us a good report concerning the future of some person that's in sin, we should be thankful to God for this, you know. We should love that person enough to be thankful to God. Believe the things that the Lord tells us. Hopeth all things. Yes, we hope all good things, you know, for God's people, no matter who they are and what they've fallen into, we hope. Endureth all things. We just have to endure to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, as the Lord says, right? But love never faileth. Oh, glory be to God. Never faileth. Now, that's awesome. And, you know, we need to express our love towards people that have fallen. We know that they're victims of the real enemy, the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness. And we want them delivered. Amen? Amen. So, what can we do about these things that come out of the heart that defile? Well, we have to stop them right there. Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and 8 said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, is it true? Do you know it's true? Do you have witnesses of it being true? Are they lying witnesses? Are they people of repute? Does their fruit prove that they are a good witness?" Well, the fruit of the people that came against Jesus was zilch. And it was mentioned so in the Bible. Whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honorable. Is it an honorable thing to think about? If you said it in front of other people, especially honorable people, would it be an acceptable thing? If it wouldn't, why are you thinking that? All right. Whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just. Is it just? Is it just? I like to point out the political realm because it really points out our spiritual church realm too. But is it just that these people are harassing and haranguing this president, stopping him from doing his job? They all belong in jail because there's laws against what they're doing. Is it just? Well, no, everybody's finding out it's not. And that's why the criminal media is losing ground and costing their jobs and so on and so forth. Whatsoever things are pure, is it pure? Would you be embarrassed to share your thought with someone who was an honorable person? I mean, obviously, you're not embarrassed to share something that's impure with somebody that's impure. They just cheer you on, right? Is it pure enough that you would share it with the saints, the sanctified ones, the ones who desire goodness and righteousness? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, wouldn't we rather have a good report? Now, how do you get a good report? Well, you pray for someone and then you believe that your prayers are answered. You believe the Lord is going to turn them around. And so you give the good report. Yep, yes, they have this problem. Yes, they're doing this and so on and so forth. But we believe the Lord is going to save them. The Lord is going to deliver them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We give the good report, right? And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, are you thinking legal thoughts about someone? Are you permitting the devil to come in there and say evil things about someone constantly? Is suspicion there, even though you have no evidence? This person that's running around talking against other people, don't you understand that this is wrong? Don't you understand that the righteous don't do this? Think on these things. If there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and God, the God of peace, shall be with you. Oh, glory be to God, the God of peace. That's what we want. And if you really want a treat, you know, read 1 John chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 about love. If you don't have the love of the brethren, you are not acceptable before God. If you don't love the brethren, you don't love God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace towards us in giving us this forgiveness, Lord. We forgive our brethren. We want the best for them. We want them to be delivered. We're thanking you every time you tell us, Lord, that you're going to deliver them from captivity. And we praise you. And Lord, meanwhile, we don't want their evil works to destroy our brethren. We love our brethren enough. We don't want gossip and slander, if they're ignorant, or suspicion to come over them. And we ask you, Lord, to deliver our brethren from the wicked. They are always there, always waiting and trying. And we just ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, deliver our brethren from the wicked, Father. We praise you for your mercy towards us, Lord. We know it's grace, and we thank you so much.